This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Just wanted to breathe a little bit. Live today from the Schnucks on South Grand, 3430 South Grand. A lot of friendly folks here coming up and talking and trying to eat Frank's food.
This food is just terrific.
Mariana is one of the managers here, and she's brought out some sushi and some of these brats. Oh, my goodness,
the
just terrific.
The brats here, my wife and I had my sister and brother-in-law over for a barbecue last weekend, and we got some Schnucks brats, a little medley of four or five of them. All fantastic. The brats at the meat counter are legitimate.
And it's the Freedom Reserve brat, which is made with the Budweiser Freedom Reserve, which is a great beer, by the way. So little beer brats. We've also got the spicy California rolls, which is eating a little healthier, Frank.
Yes.
The chicken wing bar is out. And they're very professional here because they even handed us a menu and said lunch will be served at approximately 11:15. Stop by and see your neighborhood Schnucks. It is Father's Day. Don't forget, everybody's got the hockey hoopla. Father's Day is Sunday, right? You know, Mother's Day, kind of a big deal. Christmas, big deal. Father's Day,
You're right.
Not this year, baby. Load it up at your neighborhood Schnucks. I want to do a little travel segment because who were you just looking at, Hoff? Kenny Wallace's wife is struggling with her luggage.
Yeah, she was ranting about, I guess, American or United, and they lost.
And Kenny's in some kind of feud with American on Twitter. Charlie Marlow famously got a free sport coat because Southwest lost all of his stuff for a time being. And then I see Frank trying to get back from Boston.
All right, let me tell you, this will be quick.
And were you in New York?
Yeah, of course, when you want to fly back from Boston, you should stop in New York before you get to St. Louis.
Hey, I was almost offered, remember my story? They wanted me to fly to New York and take a train to Boston to save time, and I said, that's not saving any time.
Oh, my gosh. So I get off the plane was a little bit delayed getting out of Boston to get to New York. So as soon as I get off the plane, I say to the person, hey, I got to get to this next gate really quickly because we're running a little bit late. And you'd think at this point that person would say, sir, we'll make a call. We'll make sure that you make it. They didn't. So I'm literally with a backpack, running with a bad Achilles as hard as I can. And I get to the gate, and I see the door shutting. And I said, ma'am, please, can I get on there? The flight was late. I ran up here. I'm sorry, we can't do that. I said, could you please just call? Just let them know. I'll
get you some cheese bread.
Yeah. I said, just like seven steps. Now, believe me, I don't cuss. But I just, ma'am, please, you got to let me on here. She says, I'm sorry, sir. So I sat there.
You didn't have your fake police badge to flash and try to get on the plane?
I sat there, and that plane sat there for 20 minutes.
With a closed gate.
Yeah.
You couldn't get on. And I know they always say, well, there's certain rules. I think sometimes they just hide behind that.
Oh, my goodness.
No excuse.
I gave that lady kind of an intimidating stare as I walked away. Unbelievable.
You should have said, my father, Sly Stallone, is going to be furious when he gets word about this.
Oh, and I don't want to mention the airlines, but I said on Twitter that if you guess it, I will direct message you back.
There's only a couple of options.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am? I'm Rick Pitino. Let me on this plane.
That's right. Gosh. But I didn't. I was so ticked off. I did have a lovely crab and cheese omelet.
You took it out on the Channel 5 expense account.
Exactly, yeah. The Channel 5 See America plan, where we like to visit each city on the way back.
Well, I forget now which Boston trip it was, but we had a connecting flight in Baltimore. But the Boston flight was delayed by about 30 minutes. So we had a one-hour connection time originally that got cut into about 30 minutes. And they make the announcement, said, for those of you connecting to St. Louis, it's going to be a little tight. And I went up to the gate and I said, well, since you guys are the ones making us late, can you make sure they know we're coming? And they said, well, it looks like there's about 20 of you. And I said, correct. So she said something like, well, we'll try. I'm like, well, your plane is late, so can you let the other plane know that because of you, we might be late? It's not our fault. And they basically said, do your best. And I'm like, okay, thanks.
Wow.
It really helps.
And then we're switching airlines because I flew out Southwest and came back.
Oh, good. So now we just figured out it's not Southwest.
Yes. No, it's not. Okay.
Southwest.
Southwest.
We just figured it out.
Yeah.
Because
you can narrow it down after that.
Okay.
So anyway, I have to do a banquet in Norwood Hills as soon as I get back. And I'm wondering, wait a minute. I got to take a taxi from the main terminal to Southwest because that's where my car is.
Okay.
And so I get a cab driver, and I said, I need you to take me to the Southwest. And he was like, he had this attitude like,
I'm not going all the way down.
Yeah,
that's
it. Take you for. And so you know what he did? This is incredible. Because the bill was going to be like $6.
Right.
So I break out of 10. Then all of a sudden, when we get close to my car, he's pressing buttons, and I'm up at like 16.
He's adding fees.
Yeah, I said, and I did, oh, my goodness. Travel.
Well, I can see why comedians focus on it so much.
Yes.
Because the more you travel, the more stories there are. We had a guy yesterday sitting in the lobby, and I thought Charlie might punch him. I thought about doing it.
Oh,
he's
no.
Talks on his phone out loud guy. He's on the Bluetooth. But this guy is touting all of his business. Right, okay, well, you tell Bob, and we're all sitting there quietly, and the whole gate can hear this guy's conversation. Well, we're at about $60 billion in sales. He said that. We're at $60 billion in sales. I'm like, there's nobody. Apple isn't at 60. You ask Charlie about this guy. He is just barking out loud. And then we get off the plane in St. Louis. He's doing it again because he's such a big shot that everybody's got to hear his whole conversation. Shouts out loud, shares his business phone guy, is among the most hated, especially at the airport.
I can remember one of the best stories you ever told was in one of the 590 The Fan bathrooms over the years, and Lord knows we've been in like 60,000 locations, but you heard a guy like trying to buy a car while he was taking a you-know-what.
That sounds familiar. It probably happened more than once in
the
sports
radio. You just got to draw
world.
The line. You cannot, right. In a public bathroom, be trying to buy a Subaru, okay?
Also, travel-related, from Game 7, we told Hoff this off-air, the game is over. They've won the Stanley Cup. We're kind of getting our gear put together. And Charlie says, how do they not have snacks? I said, what? He said, how do they not have snacks out for the media? And they've been feeding us for weeks now. The game is over. It's time to go. And he said, no, seriously, there's no drinks or snacks or anything.
Biggest win in Blues history.
Yeah. Yes.
He's focused on food.
Along the lines of food, we all end up at this Blues family and personnel bash at the Marriott. And it's good because there's a lot of people there, you know, Kachuk and Brett and all this stuff. The bad news is they really didn't have any food. It was like, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and we're really starved, and all the restaurants are closed. So we kind of separated with the Fox 2 guys. So we're about to get an Uber back to our place in Dorchester, 45 minutes away.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, well, it's lovely this time of year.
Whitey Bulger's hometown.
That's what you want. That's what you want to know.
Exactly. So anyway, we're waiting there, and this pizza delivery guy comes in, and he's ticked off because somebody ordered a humongous pizza and like three cheeseburgers, and they weren't there. And I said, wait a minute. We'll take that. He goes, you want to pay for it? I said, yeah, we'll pay for it. Boom, boom, boom. And so Stasiak
wow.
and myself and Ahmad polished it off real quick.
Wow. I heard Cam ducked out on you guys and got himself a...
Oh, yeah. God bless. And that was the most strategic move of Cam's career, besides finally marrying his gorgeous bride, is that... He said, where are we staying? And so I sent him pictures of where we were staying. And then an hour later, he says, I think I'm covered.
I told Jimmy and Brian the other day, I said, these professional athletes or former professional athletes, when they see how the media travels and lives, they're really appalled.
Yeah.
Like they want to be on
TV. Connecting flights.
Right. They want to be on TV, but they don't really want to be a part of how we travel.
Yeah.
Let's do Five for Frank. That's brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right. Number one, Frank, the Binnington legend, the performance in Game 7. Where can we put this? Because Freeze is obviously near the top. Gibson's
yeah.
near the top.
And then Bob Pettit. That's the Mount Rushmore, I think.
Of like
Warner would be there, too.
Big game performances.
Yeah,
but, I mean, it's right up there, isn't it?
Yeah. I really hated the fact that one goal got in. at
Correct.
The end. But it doesn't really take away from that first period, which won the game. Gosh, Martin, it was they had three scoring chances in 4 minutes and like 30 seconds. That unbelievable scoring chances, not like shots on goal, but real legitimate chances to score. It'll never be forgotten.
I think we all walked in believing they could win. They'd been winning on the road, but still, I think if you've been around this city, isn't there just a little part of you saying, gosh, this could just be a horrible way to end what's been an unbelievably great run. But then when he started making those saves early, my mind just kind of shifted. Like, it's not just possible. They're going to do it. I mean, when he was – he literally had one where he was, like, on his head, flipping and flopping all over. And I thought, this is one of those games where we've seen it happen before, where he came back and just played lights out. And I said, this is a night where maybe he gives up one, but if they can just get a couple, I think it's over. And when it was 2-0, I thought it was over. I really did. And I think the building did, too. You give up two goals on four shots – that building was deflated, and the Blues used to do that, give up those late goals late in the period, just killers, 8 seconds, and you give up that Petro goal. I think you don't want to jinx it, but in your head, then you think they're doing it.
I still don't know what Marchand was doing on that play.
Was he trying to agitate?
He was going to leave. He actually did leave.
He had like a half-hearted elbow to Schwartz and then just went right to the bench.
Yep. I will say this, too, is Bernie was up in the press. Bernie was sitting right next to us. And he just said, there's no way this kid's given up three goals, you know, when you went up 2-0.
Right, you got to two, and you saw him with the saves he made, the 12-save performance. You said, there's just no, as Frank would say, no freaking way. Yep. How surreal is it? We're up in this press box, and you go to get, like, a bowl of popcorn or peanuts, and you're bumping into Robbie Fabry. All the, like, the healthy scratches are all right
Robert
next
Bortuzzo.
To us. Bortuzzo.
And then all of a sudden
there.
You see Bortuzzo in skates, you know, an hour and a half later.
Well, that's the weirdest
that's
deal.
That's a great thing to do, though.
It makes sense if you're a healthy scratch. And for a lot of these guys, they played big games. Bortuzzo had some huge goals. They get him downstairs in time to get dressed to go out there. What do they do if it's 2-2 in overtime? Does both, are like the Bruins scratches getting dressed out? That's got to be the weirdest deal. In this case, obviously, they kind of knew. Yeah. It was happening. But you're bumping into, like, Fabry and Bortuzzo.
And then beautiful suits.
And then Bernie Federko's sitting there. I mean, it's just surreal, the whole deal. All right,
Johnny
number
Marlowe's
two.
Complaining about the snacks.
Snacks. Good snacks up in the press box.
That's the funny thing.
The thing about it, the only reason I bring it up, and he'll say false reporting, fake news, I thought he was kind of kidding. And that's why I was like, we all need snacks. But he was actually upset about it. That's what stood out to me. All right, number two, any issue with the Conn Smythe? If you had a vote, and it's interesting that they showed us who everybody voted for. Tom Timmerman and Jim Thomas voted for Bennington.
There are 18 voters.
Okay, and Bennington got the votes of Jim Thomas and Tom Timmerman. I believe Jeremy Rutherford voted for O'Reilly. If you had a vote, where would you have gone?
I would have gone O'Reilly. Bennington had a couple of, let's face it, off games in the Stanley Cup Final. It's tough to argue against him, but if you're going to vote for one guy, Ryan O'Reilly, who tied Gretzky for a goal in four consecutive Stanley Cup Final games.
And I didn't have a problem with it. I'm not sure if I had to hit send, though, if I could, after watching that game, the final game, I think I might have gone Bennington. In fact, Brett Hull was arguing with me about it after the game at that Marriott. He said, don't you think it goes to the goalie? And I finally said, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? They won the Stanley Cup. But... I mean, O'Reilly got quiet a couple times during the postseason. We know he was playing injured. If you put it this way, what percentage would the Blues have winning the Cup without Jordan Binnington? Zero?
Yeah, but what percentage?
Without O'Reilly.
Yeah.
It's low, but maybe it's not zero.
I mean, think about Schwartz and Tarasenko and, you know, what their contribution level offensively was. And that. If Ryan O'Reilly doesn't step up, there's no way.
Right. All right, number three, you are Craig Berube. And you're working on your deal, and the agent calls and says, I could get you money somewhere else. I could get you more money. Would you even consider? Remember Barry Trotz last year wins the cup and then leaves, but I believe there was some ill will that preceded that.
The difference is Armstrong and Berube are as thick as thieves right now. So I will say this, though. I tell my agent, you do everything possible to get another offer. But in the end, we are not taking another offer. You have to do this.
I would love to know.
But maybe he's not money obsessed. He doesn't seem like.
And I don't think he wants to go anywhere.
Oh,
I mean, you saw that shot of him on the balcony at O.B. Clark's. He's holding up a beer. I mean, he owns the town right now. I would love to know, and if Doug Armstrong would tell us, was there ever an offer or a discussion with the agent, you know, like in February or March, where they put something on the table, said, hey, we got a deal for you, you know, 2 years, $4 million, or whatever. And the agent said, nah, we're going to wait this out. Wouldn't you like to know if they tried to kind of rip it up and get it done during the season, and the agent and Berube's side said, nah, let's just kind of wait and see?
I don't – that doesn't sound like Doug Armstrong.
That he would have even tried?
Yeah. But
because then our guy would have been just like Scott Barry. Berube would have been like, you know, I'm going to just wait this out, and maybe I've got a winning ticket here.
Yeah.
Because he probably could have signed.
He probably would have got $2 million right after the regular season, a three-year deal.
Right.
Now he could be looking
like
at a four-year deal for
$3 million a year or whatever.
Yeah.
It is crazy because the Babcocks and Quenvilles make so much money, and you say, all right, well, I don't need $6 or $8 million. That's crazy, but I'll take $4 or $5 million.
And how about this, too? After 20 games of his NHL coaching career with the Blues, he had lost 11. He was the most interim of interim coaches. Nobody, after 20 games, thought this guy who doesn't speak a whole lot during press conferences, doesn't seem to have the it factor. Nobody thought he was coming back. And now he's going to be remembered forever.
He was coaching the Chicago Wolves, a couple of years ago. He's actually kind of funny when he wants to be at those press conferences, which are incredibly short. Like before they could even get the mic passed around, they're like, is that do it? Okay, thanks. I think it was Game 7, the day before the game, and Jim Thomas wanted an update on Robert Thomas, you know, lineup questions that were pertinent. And he said, what can you tell us? And he said, they're players. And he kind of laughed like he cracked himself up.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of humor there that maybe now that he's accomplished and established, he'll let it out a little more.
He actually let out a belly laugh. We did a one-on-one with him before Game 7, okay? Caruso pulls him aside for the pregame show, and we ask him, I go, so who was your hockey hero growing up? And he says, oh, Guy Lafleur. I go, yeah, Guy Lafleur had that long flowing hair, what you used to have. He goes, yeah, no, I got none. And then he goes,
he cracked himself
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right, true or false, you're going to make a strong pitch to management. Boy, we really should probably cover those NHL awards. You got Berube and you got Binnington and O'Reilly and Army are all up for. They're in Vegas in July. I think I got to tell you, I've never pitched this before. I think this year we got to go.
Vegas,
true or false, Frank
July.
Is making this pitch.
Wow.
I've already got my pitch.
Wolfgang Pucks.
I've already got my pitch in my head. I have a feeling the budget's been blown apart the last couple of weeks. You know, those boats aren't cheap.
But we can say, hey, you know what? The Blues are the story. That's all anybody cares about.
Well, here's what you do.
And July is kind of a book
ratings.
Time, small book. But
Frank, you should say, well, I heard Martin's going. And I walk in, I say, I heard Frank's going.
That's the only way to do it.
That's how you would get Martz and LaRusso on the same show. Frank would go and say, you know, Tony wants you to do this. And then Martz, hey, Tony Martz is coming in just to see you. And then you get them both there at the same time. Yeah, the other guy really wants to do this.
You don't think they teach that at Missouri J School?
Things you don't learn
at
J School. All right, number 5, you are Tuukka Rask. You got great numbers, career-wise, great playoff numbers. Are you doubting yourself a little bit as a guy who could win a cup? I told you there was the bartender at one point who told us in Boston early in the series that the fan base is split on him, and I said, what? He said, because many people don't think he'll ever win a cup. That's there's a vibe in Boston. There's already a segment out there that's not crazy about him. This certainly doesn't help. Do you think if you're Tuukka Rask with all you've accomplished as a great goalie, do you think there's a little bit of doubt at this point whether it will happen?
I don't know if I doubt my own ability, but I doubt if I'm ever going to be in this situation with just, you know, 60 minutes of hockey away from winning a Stanley Cup. I mean, the bottom line is never trust a Finn.
5 for Frank, brought to you by our good friends at Greenville University. You can find out more at greenville.edu. How about the setting at O.B. Clark? So just the balcony, wasn't that just, like, if it was just a bar where everybody's crushed inside, you can't see them. It was just sort of tailor-made for that moment yesterday where you could see certain players hanging out over the balcony, holding the cup. I mean, it was like the French Quarter in New Orleans. You know,
you're
just kind of looking up and... And I'm sure these guys would have probably thrown some beads and whatnot. Go inside. Furman, friend of the show, sent me a picture holding the Conn Smythe trophy. I said, what is going on? The whole town's insane right now.
All right, let's take a short time out, broadcasting live from Schnucks. Boy, this sushi is outstanding. The chicken wings, the brats, the potato salad. We're at South Grand. You can come on by, say hello. I am Frank Cusimano. I'm broadcasting with, is that Pat Maroon or is that Martin Kilcorn over there?
Do you think people walking by are confused? Because I've got this maroon jersey on that Big Al wanted me to wear at some point. I decided to wait until they won it all. Do you think people are going to ask me for some autographs, thinking it's Pat Maroon? Zero chance.
Zero.
How about his quote, too, where he said the media doubted us and we shoved it up there?
Well,
I don't know if he meant the national media.
You were in last place.
Do you think it was local media or just sort of the pundits saying
that's my favorite part about teams going from last to first is nobody believed in it. Dude, you played awful. I mean, come on. What are we supposed to write?
But I believe in February, somewhere in there when they had the winning streak, I said if a team ever wanted to, after winning, say, nobody believed in us, we'd all say, that's correct. We were discussing whether Tarasenko should be traded, who is going at the trade deadline, whether they should sell instead of buy. That is correct. We did have all those conversations.
I will say Pat was polite on a live interview, and he said, he goes, is it okay if I cuss? I said, no, it's not. We're live on the air.
He asked ahead of time.
He did. And then I went over to Andy Cohen. I said, you know, we were talking to him. He goes, is this really live? I mean, can I cuss? I said, no. Why does everyone want to cuss on live TV?
Well, it's hockey.
It's unbelievable because our producer, Dave Job, said he went home and his wife said, I watched. Boy, there's a lot of potty mouths in hockey. Because on NBC, during the Cup, you could hear everybody saying, bleeping, F, bleeping, you know, like unbleeping believable. Petro dropped an F-bomb in one of his interviews. O'Reilly on national TV in Canada.
Bennington did it to
Steve Levy.
To Levy and
Melrose.
Melrose. Yeah. In a taped piece, and Melrose just kind of went.
Wait, it was taped?
It was taped.
Well, why did they not?
They bleeped it. They silenced it, but they didn't, you know, say do it over like, hey, you can't do that. They just kind of stood there like, I can't believe you just did that.
All right. More information about McBride Homes. They're one of our great sponsors. Over 40 communities across the metro St. Louis area. Their Dream Kitchen and Bath Sale event is for June. You get $2,000 to $10,000 to use. And I'm telling you, when you walk into one of these homes, it's outstanding. The master bedrooms, the master baths. Oh, just the kitchens. They know how to build a home for 2019. We appreciate them being a title sponsor. We'll be right back.